Mitch, would you ask a blessing for us?
Oh, Father, we come tonight in Jesus' name, and it's a privilege, the Lord, to come and hear your word. And we just thank you, the faithfulness that you are in our lives, and Lord, the precious word of God that we have in this place. Lord, help us to take it in. And you know every heart, and you know every need. We just love you and praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name, we thank you.
Amen.
All right, back in Ezekiel. We pointed out as we wound up last time that Ezekiel is the prophet of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And the Spirit of the Lord is mentioned 22 times in his prophecy. And one commentator points out that the primary theme that runs through Ezekiel is the sovereignty of God and the glory of God. And we saw that in Revelation 4, that the four living creatures recognize and acknowledge Jesus' sovereignty almost more than anyone else, above anyone else. And Paul goes on to make several statements about God's sovereignty in his epistles. And then we know from 1 Corinthians 11:7 that the woman is the glory of the man. And in Revelation 21:9-11, the Lamb's wife is his glory. So with those two things in mind, Ezekiel's message should hold some very interesting things for us to discover, to search out. And just as a note, Jeremiah and Daniel's ministries overlapped. Jeremiah went from about 626 to 586 BC, and Daniel went from about 603 to 535 BC, so they're kind of overlapped like this. This way. It's interesting that Ezekiel's ministry roughly meshed with their overlap from 593 to 571. So if this was Jeremiah and Daniel overlapping, Ezekiel's ministry kind of went from here to here, where the two of them were common. So let's read here in Ezekiel chapter 1. If somebody wants to read the first three verses there for us.
Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Kibar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw the visions of God. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river, is it Kibar? And the hand of the Lord was there upon him.
Okay. The first thing that stands out here is the significance and the implied importance that Ezekiel held for informing us of the exact date of the beginning of his prophetic ministry. The fifth day of the fourth month of his 30th year. Okay? Now, 30 is the number of the blood of Jesus and of the ministry of Jesus. We cherubim are always found to be gazing at the blood on the mercy seat. If somebody would go to Exodus 25, and someone else to Ephesians 2, and someone else to Philippians 2, and whoever gets to Exodus 25, verses 17 through 20.
And thou shalt make the mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold, of beaten work shalt thou make them, in the 2 ends of the mercy seat. And make 1 cherub on the one end, and the other cherub on the other. Even of the mercy seat shall he make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubim speak.
Okay, and then in chapter 36, Joe, verses 7 through 9.
For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. And every wise-hearted man among them that wrought the work of the tabernacle made 10 curtains of fine twine linen, and blue and purple and scarlet, with cherubims of cunning work made them. The length of one curtain was 28 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits. The curtains were all of one size.
Okay.
36.
Yeah, 36, 7 through 9. I think I got a wrong reference there, but thank you. So the cherubim are found to always be gazing at the blood.
Amen.
And Paul informs us that the Lamb's wife is his workmanship or his masterpiece. Where was in Ephesians 2, verse 10?
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus under good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in.
And then in chapter 5, verses 25 through 27, Mitch.
Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish.
Okay. And then whoever's in Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13.
Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Okay. Okay.
Hey, Scott.
Sir.
I think it was Exodus 37, 6 through 9.
37? Okay. Go ahead.
You want me to read it?
Yeah, I got them transposed.
And he made the mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half was the length thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the breadth thereof. And he made 2 cherubims of gold beaten out of one piece, meeting them on the 2 ends of the mercy seat, 1 cherub on the end on this side, and another cherub on the other end on that side, out of the mercy seat. Made he the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof, and the cherubims spread out their wings on high, and covered with their wings over the mercy seat, with their faces one to another, even to the mercy seat, seaward, were their faces of the cherubims.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, Joe, little dyslexia there. Okay, so. 30 again is the number of the blood of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus. And that's courtesy of Ty. You can look up his notes on the numbers, significance of numbers. So his blood and his mercy. And what we have here is the cherubim always beholding the blood. And the Lamb's wife is going to be his masterpiece of his work. Okay? Stay with me on this. So that's the meaning of the number 30. And both of these facts are important and possible for us only by our recognizing and believing from the heart our complete weakness, which is inability, and God's corresponding grace towards us. Our inability, our weakness, and God's grace. So there you have the fifth day of the fourth month of the 30th year. Okay? Whoever's in 2 Corinthians 12, if somebody would go there, verses 9 through 10.
And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Mm-hmm. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
Amen.
Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
Amen.
Okay. And if you would, Tim, go back to chapter 9 and read verse 8.
And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work.
All right. So, the calendar date wasn't important in Ezekiel's opening. He didn't say, okay, I started my ministry in, 593 B.C. He said what was important was the fourth or fifth day of the fourth month of my 30th year. And what a significance that has for us. The calendar, I mean, Paul said at one point to some believers, he said, ye observe days and months and years. He said, I worry for you. Why are you so caught up with dates? Well, Ezekiel wasn't caught up with a date, but look at what he was caught up with and the significance it had for us. Okay, James?
You don't mind, I hope. Backing up, just for a second, you sort of titled this prophecy of Ezekiel, and as a prophet, Ezekiel as a prophet, and what he prophesied. Now, what I'm about to say is what I'm asking, was about the Holy Ghost. You said he was the prophet of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just help me out a minute. Just like, in the book of Acts, they say it's the Acts of the Holy Ghost. Luke wrote the Acts of the Holy Ghost. And so this prophet Ezekiel, he was prophesying. I know all the prophets are under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, God's Spirit, but he was actually prophesying as your title. He was a prophet of the Holy Ghost. That's what I'm...
Well, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Lord, is mentioned many times in his prophecy.
I understand.
What was pointed out was Jeremiah, I believe it is the prophet of the Father, and Isaiah is the prophet of the Son. Okay, now if you think about Ezekiel being the prophet of the Holy Ghost, and look again at the parallels to us, how important do we consider it to be filled with the Holy Ghost?
Very. I see what you're
saying. Pretty important?
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. If we want to understand our calling, because without the Holy Ghost, it's going about 3,000 feet right over your head. Okay? So it's very significant to us in that respect.
I understand. Thank you.
And look at Paul's letters. Look at Paul's gospel. We were quoting right before the class started. Paul says, the Spirit speaketh expressly. But in the last days, what?
Parallels.
Well, the Spirit is speaking expressly. That word, the English definition of the word expressly is distinctly, plainly, and definitely. So if the Spirit's speaking expressly about something, maybe I better pay attention.
Right.
Okay. Well, we're going to find here in a few moments that the Spirit, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel.
Exactly, yes.
Wow. Didn't do that to anybody, any other prophet.
Amen.
Okay?
Thank you.
All right. Okay. But again, the calendar date wasn't important, but the way that he gave the start of his ministry had great significance.
Right.
Especially to us who are students and subjects, if you will, of Paul's gospel.
Amen.
Thank you.
All right?
Amen.
Okay. Now, Ezekiel was of the priestly line of Aaron and would have been scheduled to have begun his duties as a priest in the temple when he turned 30. But like Paul, his natural and intended career was rerouted onto a far more important and valuable track. one that doubtless looked like a dead end. Ezekiel was there with the captives in Babylon, and he may or may not have known about the 70-year duration of that captivity, but the temple and his duties in it were a long ways away when he turned 30. Okay? So he got rerouted onto a far more important and valuable track, one that doubtless looked like a dead end to the natural eye, because he was residing with and among the other Jewish exiles in the Babylonian internment camp area, which was in and around the city of Nippur. Any of you ever seen pictures or read descriptions of internment camps? Like the camps that we put the Japanese into during World War II? Yeah, they're not pleasant places.
No.
Okay? If somebody will go to Galatians 1, someone to Acts 9. And whoever gets to Galatians 1, verses 11 through 24.
But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia, and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles I saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preached the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me.
Okay. Acts 9, whoever's there, verses 15 and 16.
But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer in my name's sake.
And then in chapter 26, Ty, verses 9 through 18.
I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints that I shut up in a prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even to unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus, with authority and commission from the chief priests at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen in the those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, mm-hmm. and from the power of Satan unto God, mm-hmm. that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me.
Okay. Let's think about Paul for a minute. Here was a man who probably from an age as young as 4 or 5 was groomed or began to be groomed for that Sanhedrin council. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees.
Yes.
And his father and maybe others no doubt were doing everything in their power to guide Saul's upbringing, so to speak. And at the time of Acts 9, he was a rising star in the Sanhedrin circle. He probably had dreams and aspirations of one day sitting on that council as a full-fledged member.
Right.
And we know from the things that he wrote in his epistle, the earnestness and the vehemence he had to carry out what he saw as his mission at that time.
Persecution.
Eradicating that heretical sect that had sprung up. He was doing the nation service.
Yes.
Getting rid of another form of heresy that had sprung up in his mind. And yet, on that road to Damascus,
praise the Lord.
Things got changed.
Amen.
Real drastically,
Amen.
Real quick.
Amen.
And, you know, we can, with sanctified imagination, you know, Saul recognized that the Lord had spoken to him.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine, in Saul's mind, in his heart, with everything he'd been trained to, not only, Saul, are you not going to try to eradicate this sect, you're going to become its chief champion. And your ministry of breaking that news and that wonder, if you will, of the good news is not going to be to your people. It's going to be to everybody but your people.
Amen.
The dogs, the heathen.
Jesus. Amen.
Now, it had to have taken some time for Saul to digest all that.
Yes.
And to use a human phrase, to come to grips with it. That, wow, Lord, you really want me to make a change here.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
But, like us, he was a vessel of God's mercy.
Amen.
And it was the grace of God that enabled him to lay a hold of that commission and that change and go with it like he did.
And Scott?
Yes?
I don't know if there's any significance there, but he spoke to him in Hebrew.
Yes. Yes. He could have spoken to him in Greek or Latin.
But he knew Hebrew.
But he hit him with the Hebrew, yes.
I mean, more personal then?
That yes. Would
signify that, or what would?
Yes, because Greek and Latin were both heathen languages.
Okay.
So he was spoken to in the language of his people. Yes, that was very significant, without a doubt. As I thought about this, I was reminded of the words in one of the verses from number 278, the Grace and Glory. It will matter much, I venture, at the ending of our race. We were halted by the Master in our choice of earthly place. Aren't you glad to have had your locomotive switched onto the main track of freedom?
Right.
Instead of onto a dead-end track?
Yeah.
I also thought of a poem I don't know how many of you are familiar with Pilgrim's Progress, but if you know the story, Pilgrim took off for the Celestial City on his own, and his wife basically said, nope, ain't going. And later on, she changed her mind. The Lord worked on her heart, and she did go. And at one point, she broke into a little bit of praise, and she said, blessed be the day that I began, a pilgrim for to be. And blessed also be the man that thereto moved me.
Amen.
'Tis true, 'twas long ere I began to seek to live forever. But now I run as fast as I can. 'Tis better late than never. Our tears to joy, our fears to faith, are turned as we see. Thus our beginning, as one saith, shows what our end will be. And I just thought, wow. John Bunyan knew something. He may not have known Paul's message, but he was on a track.
Amen.
Okay. Now, going on here in Ezekiel, he says, as I was among the captives by the river of Kebar. Kebar means, has several meanings. It means as if made clear, abundant, or vehement. In the Hebrew, the name means length. And all these meanings are important here, as we'll see in a moment. This river Kebar is identified as Nabu Kabari, which means great canal. It was identified that way on two Babylonian era tablets that were unearthed at the city of Nippur by archaeologists. And this canal branched off from the Euphrates River above or north of Babylon. It flowed 60 miles southeast through the city of Nippur and finally emptied back into the Euphrates near the city of Erech, which is, if you want to look it up, is the modern name is Warka there in Iraq. The Arabic name for Kebar is Shat in Nile, which means the river Nile. And that brings to mind the Nile River of Egypt.
Yes.
And Egypt, of course, typifies the world. But that brings to mind the Nile River in Egypt, where Israel were slaves for several centuries. The fact that it was a man-made canal rather than a natural river shows us that Israel in exile was forced to draw their water, which is typical of their living, from man rather than God. And let's turn over to the book of Zechariah for a moment. And that, and drawing your life from man would have been for Israel, as we'll see here in a moment, a very humiliating thing. Okay, got to get to Zechariah first. Anybody in Zechariah yet?
Yeah.
Page 975. Thank you. All right, right. We want to go to chapter 7 in Zechariah. Okay. And let's see. Starting in chapter 7, verse 1. And it came to pass in the fourth year of King Darius that the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah in the fourth day of the ninth month, even in Chislu, when they had sent unto the house of God Sherezer and Regemmelech and their men to pray before the Lord and to speak unto the priests which were in the house of the Lord of hosts and to prophet to the prophet, saying, should I weep in the fifth month, separating myself as I have done these so many years? Then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, Speak unto all the people of the land, and to the priests, saying, When ye fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, even those 70 years, did ye all fast unto me, even to me? And when ye did eat, and when ye did drink, did ye not eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? Should ye not hear the words which the Lord hath cried by the former prophets, when Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity, and the cities thereof round about her, when men inhabited the south and the plain? And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother. And oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. And let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. But they refused to hearken, and pulled away the shoulder, and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it is come to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. Now, this is the description of why they were where they were, in the internment camp at Nippur in the land of Babylon. So again, they were forced here to draw their water, their living, from man rather than God, and live immersed in the world rather than living the separated life that the Lord had called them to. The various meanings of the name Kibar reveal that the Lord would remind his people in no uncertain terms why they had been humiliated and humbled, but also to give them hope because their captivity had a defined length that would be fulfilled, and then they would be restored. Now remember, I said the meanings of the name Kibar, as if made clear, abundant or vehement, and the Hebrew meaning is length. All right? If somebody would go to Psalm 137, someone to Daniel 1, whoever gets to Psalm 137, if you would read the first four verses for us.
By the river of Babylon there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Daniel 1, whoever's there, if you would read the first 15 verses for us of chapter 9.
In the third year of the reign of
Jehoiakim. Is that 9, James?
9.
Chapter 9, I'm sorry. Chapter 9. Not 1. Chapter 9. first 15 verses.
Okay. In the first year of Darius, the son of Asher, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplication with fastings and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenants and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from the precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belong unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he has set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him, and he has confirmed his words which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven has not been done as has been done upon Jerusalem, as it is written in the law of Moses. All this evil has come upon us, yet made we not our prayers before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore has the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that has brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and has gotten thee renown, as at this day we have sinned and have done wickedly.
And then verses 20 through 24, James.
It's increased.
And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy nation of my God, mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision.
Through 24.
Yeah, but 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecies and to anoint the most holy.
Okay, So in that portion is where, now whether Ezekiel and Daniel ever communicated, we don't know. They were living about 60 miles apart during the captivity. But you see there in Daniel that Daniel was told 70 weeks are determined, which is almost 500 years, or 490, what am I thinking of? 70 years of captivity, but 490 years for the end of the prophecy. So Daniel knew the time. It was very specific, and this goes along, again, with the name of the meaning of Kebar. It was made clear to Daniel how long this would be. And like I say, whether he was able to communicate this to Ezekiel, we don't know. But in spite of these conditions that Ezekiel found himself in, and all the happenings that had happened, living in this basically a refugee camp or an internment camp south of Babylon, Ezekiel was still called of the Lord and shown grand visions of what the Lord had tucked away for his holy ones.
Amen.
Ezekiel possessed the faith of the fathers.
Amen.
Amen.
And so his vision of Jesus remained bright. Verse 4, if you would, Hagen.
Ezekiel 1:4?
No, in the songbook.
No, I'm sorry. What page is that?
229.
I apologize.
No worries.
229. This is verse 4?
Verse 4.
There's no dungeon so dark nor so dreary that can bar me from beauty and light, while my faith in the Lord is still active and my vision of Jesus is bright.
Amen.
Okay. And this was Ezekiel. Okay. Let's have somebody go to Exodus 38, someone to 1 Corinthians 13, and someone to 2 Corinthians 3. And speaking of visions,
yes,
the word vision here, or visions in verse 1, is number 4758 in the Hebrew, and it means a sight, appearance, or vision. A mirror, which the Old Testament calls a looking glass. Okay? Whoever's in Exodus 38, verse 8.
And he made the laver of brass and the foot of it of brass of the looking glasses of the women assembled, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation.
Okay? So the laver in front of the tabernacle was cast. They took the hand mirrors that were made of brass, most likely, or bronze, of the women, and melted those mirrors down and cast the laver. Isn't it interesting? Now, how many of those mirrors belonged to the Hebrew women is anybody's guess. I think they got most of them from the Egyptian women when they got ready to leave, because they asked them for everything. The Egyptians couldn't give them stuff fast enough. Get out of here. Take it. Go. But isn't it interesting that the Lord took those hand mirrors that the women were so used to admiring themselves in and turned it into that laver where the priests could wash and be clean? I think that's interesting. Whoever's in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12.
For we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known.
Okay. 2 Corinthians 3, whoever's there, verses 17 and 18.
Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Amen.
But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord.
Yes.
Okay. Now imagine those priests. Before, you had the women looking at themselves in the mirrors, and now you have this laver with the water in it. And as the priests would bend over to wash, they would see their reflection in the water. But the water was probably moving, so the reflection was changing. We see into a glass now, and in that looking, we rest in the apparent enigmas that we behold. That's what that word darkly means, an enigma, like a puzzle, something you can't quite figure out. And we are being changed into that reflection as we believe it.
Amen. Amen.
Now we're just about out of time, but let's go over Daniel, who was, again, Ezekiel's contemporary. He held something very similar. Let's go over to Daniel chapter 10. Okay, and we'll just read this to finish up for tonight, but I think it's a good place to stop. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone, and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned into me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then I was in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then he said unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the visions my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. By the way, a reminder, Ezekiel's name means strengthened of God.
Amen.
And said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong.
Amen.
And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia, And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince.
Amen.
So I think we'll find lots of parallels with Ezekiel. I hope it was a blessing to you.